Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the second hour of Oilers Now. Bob Stauffer and Brendan Escott with you. Oilers Now brought to you by Digitex. Digitex.ca is Alberta's number one owned and operated place to buy office technology and software. Reminder, you can text us at any time on the Ashley Fine Floors text line at 780-496-0063. Get the new floors you've always wanted with Ashley Fine Floors, 143rd Street, 111th Avenue, open Monday to Saturday. And you can reach us on the River Cree Resort Casino hotline at 780-496-0063. The River Cree Resort and Casino excitement. Bet on it. We're on Twitter at Oilers Now. You can tweet me personally, Bob_Stauffer or Brendan Escott at Brendan with two E's, Escott with two T's. We'll tell you that Japanese Village open to serve you at any one of their five Edmonton and area locations. Try the legendary Wagyu steak cooked right before your eyes. Reserve now at jvedmonton.ca. Tell Don and his staff at Japanese Village that Oilers Now sent you. We head off to the River Cree Resort Casino Hotline and go to our Oilers Now headliner today for Wilhauk Beef Jerky. It just might be the best you've ever tasted. Search for Wilhauk, W-I-L-H-A-U-K today. As we are joined by the Interim Chief Operating Officer of the Edmonton Elks, Alan Watt, who I've met over 30 years ago now and worked a number of years with the Edmonton Oilers with him, and he's now the COO on an interim basis with the Edmonton Elks. We welcome back to our show Alan Watt. Hi, Alan. How are you doing?
I'm good, Bob. How are you?
Good. I don't mean to date you, but I remember listening to you call Golden Bears football on CBC Radio. Oh, man, it had to have been about 1975, out when I was living on my acreage. So is that about exactly the right time frame?
Yeah, that's exactly about the right time frame. And I have to say that getting the opportunity to do play-by-play is every sports broadcaster's dream. And the only way you can become better at it is if you do it. And that was a great, great learning experience with some wonderful people, including Jim Donlevy. You know, it's not every head coach that would sit after practice or even before practice and spend the kind of time Jim did with me to really teach me the nuances of what I should be looking for when I was doing play-by. It was a great experience for me. I've never forgotten it.
Yeah. As you know, I did the Golden Bears for a number of years and still, you know, cared tremendously about that athletics program and sneaked down to Claire Drake Arena. And I got a chance to go to Foot Field once this year. Alan, I care about football in this city. I've always been a little bit perplexed why there has to, and you and me used to see each other at the junior games too. Even when you were working for the Oilers, we used to see each other at the junior games.
Yeah.
And I always wondered, you know, does there need to be more of a strategic alliance with the entire football community? We have two junior teams instead of one for this market, the Huskies and the Wildcats. You have the Golden Bears that, you know, maybe some extra, like, you ended up having two junior teams. At times they were kind of fighting over kids. And then, you know, recently with an American president and an American GM, I don't know if there was enough emphasis on the Canadian part of the Canadian Football League. That's my own personal assessment. But regardless of what happens here, and you're going to educate us on what's going to go on over the next several weeks, hopefully for the Elks, one of the things that has to happen is, does the football community need to be completely and 100% be pulling the rope in the same direction to succeed?
I think so. I think you're right. And I will say this, too, that thanks to our fans and their participation in Game Day 50-50, the Edmonton Elks Football Club and previously the Edmonton Eskimos under that name were a very important part of the financial stability and sustainability of the Huskies and the Wildcats, period. End of story. But to your point, it has to be more than just writing checks. That while that is very important, the 50-50 proceeds are divided amongst our alumni and the good programming that they do, the Golden Bears and the terrific program that Chris Morris is trying to build, and the Huskies and the Wildcats. I've been to every Wildcat game for the past 2 years. My legs are still thawing out from a couple of them, which gives you also an appreciation for what fans go through when they go to a football game in the fall. But to your point, there's always room to have a better relationship that is beyond maybe money. Why are they not more involved in us on game day? Why are we not more involved in them? We need to discover those things. That's part of what the football club, this football club, is going to do to make sure that we're analyzing our connectivity to at every level, including the little kids that are we used to have. And, you know, I don't want anybody to start adjudicating our community relations based on what's been going on in the past 2 years, because we haven't been able to do any of
right.
that. Players in a bubble. So getting back to this club has always been proud of doing 650 or more community appearances between our players, our coach, our alumni, our cheer team, and so on down the line on an annual basis. And, you know, we have a great relationship with the Golden Bears and their football camps, and we got to get back to those things. We have to get back into our junior high football program, which was not only a good program, it was burgeoning and expanding. And so we need to get back on that stuff, along with talking to our fans in surveys and focus groups and town halls, which is all part of the strategic plan for the near future.
Alan Watt joining us right now is the interim COO of the Edmonton Elks. Of course, last Monday, as we were flying Alan to Dallas, word got out in the early morning that Chris Preston, the president, Brock Sunderland, the general manager, as well as head coach Jamie Elizondo, were all going to be relieved of their duties. It was a seismic shift, obviously, for your organization. What has the response been over the course of the last week? And did the response matter at all? Was it partially a reaction from your fan base in terms of where their headspace was at from the board perspective, or how would you interpret that?
Well, I think, Bob, the professional sports business is about winning. And it's really easy to get mad at you. When you don't win, you become low-hanging fruit. People can pick off all of the things that they don't like, all of the irritants, all of the difficulties they might, and we threw, and the world threw a lot of issues.
Yes.
At fans this year. The ability to get into a stadium, to have to wear masks, to have to show proof of vaccination, to have to line up to show all of that, we have a clear bag policy. Others have no bag policies. We threw a lot at our fans. Everybody did. And so, to your question, which is all of this on one person? No. Do we need to reassure people that when people talk about the game day experience, number one, what they want is to know that you're going to win. You don't have to win them all, but you got to look like you're going to.
And you can't go 0-4 at home.
No, you can't do that. No, we set a record. It's not a very enviable record.
Right. Alan Watt joining us right now. You know what? In a domestic league, and the CFL is a domestic league, if you have the best domestic players, usually you win. And, Alan, when you were with the Edmonton Eskimos throughout the 70s, the 1980s, and into the early 90s before you joined the Oilers, they did a lot of winning because they had the best Canadians. Now, part of that was Frankie Morris, and part of that was because there was no salary cap, and they signed away the best Canadians from teams like Saskatchewan and Hamilton back in the day. We do have a salary management system. Does there need to be, from your perspective, as a guy who's now had two stints with the organization, a greater emphasis placed on procuring the best Canadian talent?
I think you need every team, if they're going to be any good at competing in the Canadian Football League, needs to have not only a greater but a great emphasis on Canadians. It is the Canadian Football League. And if you go check track records with the teams that are successful, and you and I could name franchises, the franchises that win in the CFL have the best Canadians. And sometimes you have to wait for your Canadians to grow a little bit. They don't always come in like a guy that might have played 4 years at Michigan State. You gotta be patient with them. and they've got to learn their craft, perhaps even on special teams. And that's another discussion. But your point is extremely well taken, that the teams that are successful and win in our league will have somebody that A, knows that, and B, knows how to find it and get it and bring it into your organization. And that's part of what Wally Buono is doing right now to find the right general manager for our team.
All right. There's two positions out there that they're looking for right now. One's a president, one's a GM. Take us through those. What's the strat, you know, sort of what are we looking at timeline-wise? You know, the Montreal Canadiens, an announcement came out yesterday. Jeff Gordon, who used to work for Glenn Sather, who you know well. Jeff mm-hmm. Gordon was relieved of his duties with the Rangers last year in large part because of their reaction to the brawl with Tom Wilson. But he's been brought in by Montreal. But they've already stated they've got to have a friend, you know, a guy that's fluently bilingual to be the general manager of that team, with Gordon being the president. From your perspective, would it be beneficial to a potential candidate for a presidency position with the Edmonton Elks organization if they had a bit of an Edmonton or Canadian background?
Yes. The short answer is yes. If the Montreal Canadiens have to find somebody that can speak French, I understand it. I get it. Everybody should. And understand that community, understand the culture. The same thing, the profile for the person that will be in the chief executive officer of this and the president of this team includes what you just said. Somebody that either does or in short order understand us, the community, and what the expectations are of this is a community owned football team. We're there to manage it, but it's owned by the community. And so the connection. And the board has stated that. They stated it at the media conference last Monday. There has to be a greater emphasis and a greater connection on the connectivity to our community. People need to know and feel that the relevance of the team is up there with all of the other important festivals and things that we do in this city.
Alan Watt joining us right now. Wally Buono, more specifically focused on the GM hunt, is he involved in the president's hunt?
He's specifically involved to be a consultant to find the next general manager. And to your question, this is a little bit unusual in that the general manager will be in place mid-December,
okay,
before Christmas, and the president and chief executive officer, that search will continue into the new year. And so, but it's critical for all of the things that we just talked about, to not only source the right person, but get him in place, him or her in place, mid-December.
There's a couple guys out there that were rumored to have been offered jobs in Montreal. Sean Burke, the assistant general manager of Hamilton, Ryan Rigmaiden, who was with Winnipeg when they won the Grey Cup in 2019, spent last season with BC. Again, Alan, we're kind of putting you on the spot here a bit as the interim COO, but in your world, would it be a prerequisite that they would have extensive CFL experience already maybe in an existing general manager's position or a prior GM of a team? I know people have mentioned Ed Hervey's name. Somebody's, what about an Eric Tillman? I think that might be a little bit longer shot, in my opinion. But anyhow, from where you're at, it's pretty much fait accompli that you've got to have a fair amount of CFL experience. Is that not fair?
That's very fair. And I want everybody to know that the selection committee has said there are the field is wide open.
Okay.
We can't restrict ourselves going in and have somebody standing automatically on the sidelines that should have been considered. So the field is wide open. It doesn't, you know, age, experience, connectivity, all of that stuff is important, only to the point that we need to find, as I said before, the right person. And Wally, I'm not trying to double clutch you here, Bob, at all. Wally has said, I want the field to be wide open.
There's some other guys out there. Danny McManus is, of course, a former quarterback with the Edmonton Eskimos. He's the American scout for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. He's in an assistant general manager's position. John Murphy is with the Toronto Argos organization. He's been tied a bit to Chris Jones during the course of his career. Chris Jones is a defensive consultant. Is that the term we're using for the Argos these days? Somebody even mentioned Eric Delorier for me to me, who's the current Alouette. What do they call it? They call the Alouettes again? The Montreal...
Yeah.
assistant general manager. Somebody said, what about Barker, who works on the TSN? Great guy that worked those years with Calgary and had some success in Toronto. Brandon Tamman as well. So there's lots of names out there. And you do envision that, Alan, this will all get done here by the middle of December. You guys will have a GM in place for the Edmonton Elks.
Yes.
Okay. Good.
100. Yep.
Good to know. Any concern, like, okay, we lost 2 years. You guys had a tough year this year.
Mm-hmm.
From a branding perspective, how long is it? You went back to the Elks, what, 8 or 9 years ago in a consultant role?
Yes.
Okay. Concerned a bit for the long-term viability of the CFL, the Canadian aspect, that maybe we're going to get to a point here where they have to partner with the National Football League. Can you retain that sort of Canadian heritage to the game, or you know, do you become a de facto farm team? Because it's not the same. It's not the same league. The NFL, by the way, has really opened up the offense. They protect the quarterbacks. You're not allowed to play like the 74 Steelers in the secondary anymore. Any concern about long-term viability for the Canadian Football League, Al?
You know, Bob, I'm going to say this, that Anna Stukas, the great original Edmonton Eskimo coach back in 1949, once stood up and said that he's been involved in the Canadian Football League for 40 years, and it's been going to fold next Thursday every one of those 40 years. And there's something about the fact that the Canadian Football League always finds a way through. They always seem to find enough community impetus, whether it's a private owner or in Winnipeg, Saskatchewan, and Edmonton, community ownership, to fight our way through it. And if Randy, the questions that you've asked me are really Randy Ambrosi questions and not mine to answer, except to say that becoming ANFL light is, I don't believe, something that the league is engaged. Randy would be able to answer that question, and I'm pretty sure he would answer it in no uncertain terms.
Alan, I would like nothing more than for the Edmonton Elks to get back to those halcyon days of the Edmonton Eskimos of the late 70s and early 80s in Commonwealth Stadium. I was like a 15 or 16-year-old kid. I was a season ticket holder. I worked a summer job so I could have season tickets. There was like 55, 56,000 fans at the games. I know that's a dream scenario, but never say never. And sometimes you got to
run. Never, you're right. Never say never. Those things are somewhat possible. Again, I will say this, too, that you and I can probably name half the defense and half the offense on those teams. But today, with the way the players' associations and the way leagues operate,
yep,
free agency, you know, would gets in the way. And God bless them. Players, they have the ability now to seek more money because most of the contracts that players have are one-year deals. Well, in the days you're talking about, 90% of the players were seeking multiple-year deals because they wanted to be here because the stadium was full, the facilities were great, the people were great, and they wanted to be here. We have terrific facilities in Edmonton. The salary cap is the salary cap. The non-player salary cap is the salary cap. So we are in the position of going and trying and seeking the right people to work in great facilities in what is still a great sports town.
David Boone, Ron Este, York Henschel, Dr. Death, David Fennell, and a couple of those guys are no longer with us. Dan Kepley, Tom Towns, Dale Potter at linebacker, Pete Lavoretto, Emilio Frietta at safety, Greg Butler, Ed Not Too Tall Jones, Larry Highbaugh, and Joe Holloman. How's that? I named the entire defense.
You just named it. Yeah, you just named it.
Love it, man. One more for you. Just you brought up something there at the end, and the listeners maybe need to be aware of this, Alan. There is a salary. Some people say, well, there's no salary cap on R&D, research and development. There actually is in the Canadian Football League. Do you envision the general manager hiring a Canadian scout to help complement him? Because you had one before, and I don't know. Did your club have one this past year?
Not specifically, I don't believe that, but I can't speak for the general manager. He gets the same money everybody else gets,
okay,
and it's up to him to formulate and form the staff and the administration staff and the support staff right from ground up to the head coach.
Okay, and Sunderland got a 2-year extension, so that's going to get weighed out over the next 4 or 5 years in that sort of non-player salary cap. That's how you can kind of divert some of the money to other years in order to create a little bit more flexibility for yourself. Is that right?
That's true.
All right. Yes. Alan, let's stay in touch, okay? I wish you the best of luck with things.
Thank you, Bob. I appreciate this. Yeah, thank you.
You bet. That is the interim chief operating officer of the Edmonton Elks, Alan Watt, joining us. It's 1:25 in Edmonton. we'll get back to some of your texts here. It's going to be Brendan, I know you worked a lot of the games. I did not watch it as closely this year as maybe as I have in the past. I still keep an eye on the U Sport football. I know that Saskatchewan's going to play in the Vanier Cup. I think they're playing against, they beat Montreal, Machocha's old school. I think they're going to play against Western. Against the Mustangs, that's like a ream. Those guys have met before. But what do you think? Can they get her turned around here in the next couple of years?
Yeah, I would hope so. Again, I say the amount of turnover in the league, I think that they could probably get enough fresh faces in here.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Gonna make something happen quick.
Starts with the Canadians. It's 1:26 in Edmonton. We'll get to some of your texts and return on Oilers Now after this.
This is Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
All right, Fletch from Calgary is Texas on the Ashley Fine Floors text line at 1:27. Fletch says, Bob, Edmonton's my hometown. I remember when the players from the Husky and the Wildcats worked as ushers at the Edmonton Eskimos games. Great visibility for both teams and part of the community. Look, I think you got a Canadian Football League, Canadian. I hope there's some former Edmonton Eskimo alumni. I guess now we're calling the team the Elks. That would be intrigued to get involved. I think in a perfect world, maybe you definitely got to have an Edmonton. You know what? An Edmonton connection to the process for the presidency for me. That's an automatic. Does it have to be a former Eskimo player? I think that might help. But just get the right guy and let's get back after it. Understand where you got to place an emphasis. And it helps by not being dismissive of Canadian players in the Canadian Football League, but going out and getting the best ones and drafting and developing them. It's remarkable how that works in sports. I mean, even for the New York Yankees, circa 96 to 2001, the core of that team was not acquired through free agency. The richest team in baseball at that time, it was through their own players. I mean, the Cardinals are always in the mix in baseball because they can draft and develop. Many of you think the Oilers are for real right now. And part of it is because we're now seeing the progression with Bouchard and Broberg on defense and McLeod up front, and Yamamoto and Puljujärvi. Yeah, they've got McDavid. The Oilers had 7 first-round picks that were their own in the lineup against Vegas the other night. Vegas doesn't have any. Vegas got a good team. They traded for that team to be good right away. It was good hearing from Alan Watt. We'll have him on a couple more times here over the course of the next 4 or 5 months. You already know that cars cost less than Wetaskiwin, but did you know that Brent Ridge, Ford, and Wetaskiwin are 10-time President's Award winners for customer satisfaction? What does it mean? It means treating people fairly, fully transparent negotiations, making sure advertisers' prices include all accessories, fees, and taxes. If those attributes are important to you, phone our friends Uncle Milt, Rich, Johnny, and the gang. 1-877-477-3673 or visit BrentRidge.com. We'll get to the Oilers Now injury report for James H. Brown Injury Lawyers at 1:45 after interview today with Jake Neighbors after a global news weather traffic update with Eileen Bell.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.